Thank you, Austin. I appreciate that. See, we all enjoyed it. It's good being here again tonight to open up God's Word. And we appreciate you coming faithfully night after night. And let's see if anybody brought somebody on this side tonight. Did anybody bring somebody? Okay, how many? Three? All right. Anybody else? Two he brought. Okay. Anybody else? All right. How about this side here? All right. The one with two. Mrs. Davis, are you sure you don't have somebody with you? Well, you've been doing a good job. We can let you off one night, but tomorrow night, now you're going to have to do better. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody would bring one person tomorrow night? We wouldn't have room for everybody here. We had a wonderful time when Owen was with us in Sanford. And on Friday night, on Thursday night, and Friday night of our meetings, numbers always drop down. And we've had a lot of preachers there, and I had one preacher there, and the numbers built up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, built up. And he was really high on Wednesday night. He said, oh, pack it out Thursday and Friday night. We have it running over. I says, well, brother, it's going to go downhill. He says, no. He says, we'll pack it out. Sure enough, Thursday night it went down. And Friday night it went down a little lower. I told the preacher not to be discouraged. I said, this happens. But when Owen Hoffman came from Washington, Georgia, he done packed it out night after night. Isn't that right, brother? Don't be modest now, because you're writing that book on humility, and you're on your second one, you told me at the supper table. But he packed it out, and I had to write letters of interest, and you probably saw the article in Letters of Interest. But we never had that before, but Owen did. He brought it right up. Thursday night was a good crowd. Friday night was a good crowd. And Saturday night, my wife had to tell me, because I had to leave for a series of meetings. She said it was filled again, and we have a little room over to the side that was filled night after night. And we really would like to have Owen come back again. In fact, I'm just hoping that maybe something can be worked out this fall if he isn't too busy. And I'm going to see the brethren when I get home, see what they got on. Because we really enjoyed his ministry there in Sanford. And everybody told me to be sure to greet Brother Hoffman. So I do it publicly so everybody knows that I've done it now. But it's good being here again. I appreciate all your faithfulness in coming out night after night. Tonight, we're going to look at the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, trying to keep on the same theme that we've been touching on a little bit each night, a little bit about the resurrection and the power of the resurrection, and also looking here what it brings out a very clear gospel story in this portion of God's Word. The first verse of the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, probably one of the most familiar portions of God's Word outside the 23rd Psalm. Verily, verily, or we could say, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, beloved, we're going to stop our reading right there for a few moments, and then we'll go on in the chapter as we get time permits. You know, this portion of God's Word is one that touches my heart, because it speaks about the shepherd. But there are those that try to come into God's kingdom some other way. Here we notice, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now you know, as you look at a sheepfold, it might not be exactly what we expect here in the United States. We would think maybe of a barn or a building or something that is encased and the sheep are in safe at night. But a lot of times, they tell us over in the Far East and in the Mideast there, that the sheepfold just makes up maybe a bundle of hay around. And the door might just be a bundle of hay. You know, you can't really picture this until you really get over there. And some of the films tonight that we'll be showing will show some of the desolate land that is there in Israel. You know, I was really moved as I looked at it and watched the shepherds with their sheep over there. You just wonder how the shepherd guides his sheep day by day in some of the wilderness place. But you know, there was a person could come to that sheepfold but climb up some other way instead of going through the door. And the shepherd was the door of the sheep. He stood in the doorway, and every sheep that came in would have to pass the shepherd. And it's the same thing with us. We can't get into heaven without going through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the door. The shepherd is really the door. He's the one that's standing in the way, maybe moving that bundle of hay out of the way, and the sheep come up and they can't get in until they go through the shepherd. And beloved, it's a wonderful thing as you look into the 23rd Psalm, and if we have time, we'll go into it tonight, and just look at some of those verses there. But what a great thing it is to have a shepherd of the sheep. You know, sometimes we overlook Dr. Scofield's note down at the bottom of the page. But tonight I want to look at three of the scriptures that he has here about the shepherd. The first one is that he brings out is right down at the bottom of your page, if you notice. He calls him the good shepherd. And of course, it's in the 11th verse. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, beloved, it's a wonderful thing to have a good shepherd. This is Calvary. This is when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. He giveth his life for the sheep. He doesn't care what's ahead. He's going to die for that sheep and protect that sheep. You know, I'll never forget one time Tina said to me, there was a storm coming on and it looked pretty bad, and Tina said, Daddy, you're not going to leave me. I said, no, honey, I wouldn't leave you for anything. I said, I'm going to stick right here with you, and if any danger comes, I'll lay down my life for you. And you know, she just reached up and hugged my neck. She knew her dad wasn't going to leave. Now, you know, sometimes tragedy comes and a person will leave and leave their family behind, and sometimes they can't help it. There was a fire not long ago in Sanford, and it was in a trailer, and a mother and a dad got out of the trailer, and the child was in the back. And they could hear the child screaming, but they couldn't get to the back to get the child out. And you know, some of the firemen said they can't understand why somebody just didn't take the axe and just go right through the side of the trailer to get to the child. But everybody said the heat was so strong that you couldn't even get near it. But they heard their child burn up in the flames. But you know, we have a shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. He was willing to go all the way to Calvary to take my sin. I was the guilty one. I didn't deserve this good shepherd. But he loved me so much that he was willing to die for me. And you know, he loves you so much that he's willing to die for you. And he has died for you. He's paid for all of your sins. And if you have your sins with you tonight, it's because you haven't claimed the redemption that he gave to you on the cross. Your sins are already paid for. All you have to do is receive it. Receive the payment. Account it to the debt. And say, it's all been paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But we can't dwell too long on that. But you notice the next one is in Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 20th verse. And let's see what Dr. Scofield brings out here. Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 20th verse. One time I took this in Sanford and I was pointing this out to people. And one person never knew how to use their Scofield Bible. They said, we're glad you did that. I never knew how to use my Scofield Bible before. So anyway, it's a good thing to know what it says here. Notice the 13th chapter of Hebrews and the 20th verse. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, beloved, here he's not the good shepherd, but he's the great shepherd. The good shepherd is the one that gives his life for the sheep. But the great shepherd is the one that conquered our enemies by death. And through death, he comes forth a living being, as we saw last night in the Word of God. He comes forth a revived, a living Savior, and he ascends into the heaven to prepare a place for us. He's the great shepherd. He's not only a good shepherd. He gave his life for us. But, beloved, he's a great shepherd because he conquered our enemies that were against us. Just think of Satan being against us. Just think of hell against us. Think of death against us. And the Lord Jesus Christ laid that all to rest. None of us that are saved here tonight have to fear death. Death is our servant. Because death is a door that opens up for us to be into the presence of God. If we close our eyes down here, we'll be alive up there with the Lord Jesus Christ. Death is our servant. But those that aren't saved, it's a fearful thing to think of death because they say, where will I go? A man was asked, a hard man that was a soldier, and this preacher went to him and he says, do you fear death? No, he says, I don't fear death. He says, you don't fear death? Man, he says, I don't fear death. He says, I've been so close to death and all the battles that I've been in. He says, I've never feared death. But he says, preacher, I want to tell you one thing. I fear what's after death. How about that? We might not fear death, but do we fear what's after death? After death, the judgment. How about it? But to the believer, there's no fear of death and there's no fear of judgment after the death because our great shepherd and the good shepherd took all fear away because he paid the price for our sins and we are going to be alive with him forevermore. Isn't that great? It's a wonderful thing to have a great shepherd. But then we notice that Dr. Scofield brings out another one in 1 Peter 5, and let's turn to this as well. 1 Peter 5. And notice what it brings out in this portion of God's Word. Again, a wonderful verse and one that is very familiar to all of us. The fourth verse. And it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Beloved, it's not only the good shepherd and the great shepherd, but here we find the chief shepherd. And what is he a chief shepherd about? Well, he's the chief of all shepherds. Because he's coming again. After he has given his life as a good shepherd, after he comes forth as the great shepherd, he not only does, but he comes as the chief shepherd to appear for his own, and he's going to give us a reward that fadeth not away. You know, there's a lot of rewards given away, and sometimes I go to people's homes and I see the rewards that they have achieved and so on. And one place I was to, an elderly man, he had many rewards when he was in high school. And they must have been 50 years old in their frames. And you know, some of them were yellow and starting to fade. But when the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a reward, it's not going to fade. It's going to look the same. 10 billion years from now, it's going to look the same as when he presented it to us. Beloved, isn't it a wonderful thing to have a good shepherd and a great shepherd? And the chief shepherd, and I can say he's my shepherd. But just think of what the chapter now of John 10 brings forth. Some people try to get to God some other way. Some people try to get to God through church membership. And beloved, isn't it a sad thing today to see so many people that are trusting church membership to get them into the kingdom of God? I really felt sorry on my trip to Israel because some of the people I really think felt if they touched certain spots where they said the Lord had been, that they would be a little bit purer. But you know, I enjoyed the trip. And I enjoyed everything I looked upon. And I was really moved. But it was one thing. I knew if I touched the ground, it was many years ago that my Savior had been there. That wouldn't do me one bit good. The Lord didn't want me to worship the ground that He walked upon. He wanted me to worship the person. Are we worshiping the person? Or just a piece of wood like we brought out Sunday? Or some relic? Or something else that somebody might give to us and say that this is holy? You know, beloved, one dear person, and don't think I'm critical, one dear person said, oh, I got a bottle of water from Galilee. From the Sea of Galilee. And she just cradled that bottle and she said, I'm going to take it home. And she says, my preacher, when I get home, each time we have a baptism, he's going to put a little cup full in the baptism water so the people can be baptized in the Sea of Galilee. I thought to myself, oh, beyond the name. a little cup full of Sea of Galilee didn't help a bit, or a little cup out of the Jordan River, and some got some water out of the Jordan River. And they were going to pour it in a tub when somebody's going to be baptized, so they could say they had a little bit of Jordan put on them. People honestly trust that. But beloved, the Lord, the Good Shepherd, doesn't want us to trust the water of Jordan or trust the Sea of Galilee or the Dead Sea or any other water. He wants us to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why He did not leave Israel with a lot of relics like Egypt has. Egypt has all the pyramids and all kinds of relics and all kinds of gold. And yet I think of those poor 8 million people in Cairo, plus 2 more million that they say visit Cairo every day. I think of those poor people there, what they could do if they sold some of those treasures to the poverty there in their country. Now, there, I didn't see any starvation or anything like that, but a lot of people could have used some help, I'm sure. And I thought, with all of their wealth that they have and all of their antiques, thousands of years old, and yet, beloved, they just treasure. But you know, Israel doesn't have much to treasure. Everything they have has been either torn down, and they have to dig down a little bit deeper and try to find out where this was, and they suppose this is where that was, and they suppose that's where that was. And beloved, it's been so many fightings and wars over that holy city, and it's not through yet. It's not through yet. Until that chief shepherd comes and sets up his reign on earth, when he brings peace on earth, goodwill to men. There's not peace on earth, goodwill to men, because they have rejected the peacemaker. They have rejected the Messiah, the sent one of God. Tonight afterwards, if you want to stay, you can. I'm not begging anybody to stay, but some of the brethren have asked me to show the movies, and I've cut out Rome, so that'll cut down some of the time. So it'll be a little bit shorter than what we said. But anyway, if you want to see, we're going to start right off with Cairo. If you could just spend a few moments to see Cairo. People hanging on buses. If this happened in Washington, Georgia, I'm sure the bus company would be sued if you had one. I don't know if you have one or not. We don't in Sanford, and I don't know if you have one here. But beloved, the people jump to the bus, and if it's going or not, they just try to get on some way and hang in the window and just hang on the side, hang up. I never saw anything like it in all my life. One fellow wanted to make the bus so bad that he ran from the wrong side of the street and just jumped in the window, and somebody was sitting there, and the other side of the bus was so full, he just jumped in that side of the window, and all you saw was a seat going in head first. I don't know what the person thought sitting in the seat. I never saw such sights in all my life. And beloved, if I only could have captured that sight, that would have been a wonderful one on film, I'm telling you the truth. But here they are. They're just jammed in there. But beloved, you know it's a wonderful thing to know that we're going to a place which is far better than this earth. I was impressed with Cairo. You know why? Because I guess I have evangelistic heart. I was moved to see all the multitudes without a great shepherd, without a good shepherd, without a chief shepherd. Beloved, they're trying to get to God some other way. They're trying to reach Him through some other way. Oh, their prayers are long. They do things. Even they go to the place and they wash at certain times of the day when it's called to worship. And beloved, they start at 3 o'clock in the morning, some of them, to pray. How many of us Christians get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and pray? I wonder if I asked a show of hands tonight, how many since the first of the year have prayed since the first of the year? I wonder how many could say that you prayed at 3 o'clock in the morning since the first of the year. But beloved, some of them are called to prayer at 3 o'clock in the morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning. And there they are. You can hear it right across from the temple that I heard them make the call to worship, to prayer. And yet, beloved, they're going to God the wrong way. And yet in the United States, there's a lot of people that are trying to get to God some other way, trying to get to God through church membership or through Holy Communion or through baptism. Any other way but the right way. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to God, friends, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave His precious blood to redeem us. Now notice what it brings out in this portion of God's Word. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Beloved, our shepherd goes in by the door. He doesn't climb into heaven some other way because He's the door. He knows the way in. You notice what it says in that fifth verse, and a stranger will they not follow. That's talking about the sheep. Maybe I should read the fourth verse. But when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He putteth forth his sheep. But notice what it is. And he, when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. He isn't behind them. My brother told me a story when he was over in Africa during the Second World War. He said he was standing there during one of the battles and he was looking. And he was behind the lines and he watched the shepherd in the hills. And he says, hey, he says, look at that shepherd. That shepherd's behind the sheep. He said, look, if that shepherd's not leading the sheep, he's actually behind and beating the sheep. I always thought a shepherd led the sheep. Oh, the fellow said, Art, you've got it wrong. That's not the shepherd, that's the butcher. Isn't that what you pointed out last night to me, brother? When they sell the sheep? He said the sheep are brought in by the shepherd, but when they're brought out, they're driven out. Beloved, I wish I would have seen that sight over there. I didn't see that. But he reminded me about it last night. What a great thing to think that the shepherd goes before his sheep and they know him and they follow him. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Let's turn quickly. It's just in my mind and I might as well get to it so I can get back to the 10th chapter. Let's go to the 23rd Psalm. Beloved, you just can't speak on the 10th chapter without looking at the 23rd Psalm. Notice what it brings out here in this great Psalm. I like these first four words in it, or five words, because the first word is the. But the next words, I like the next four words after the. And you can emphasize this in many ways, the 23rd Psalm. And beloved, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, a little girl read this one time and she added something to it. Maybe it wasn't such a bad translation. She read it like this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want anything. That's good, isn't it? I shall not want anything. Beloved, a sheep is a peculiar animal. He needs to be content. He eats when he's content, and he doesn't eat, drink at a bubbling brook. It's got to be a peaceful place. Now, beloved, this is what I want to do. I want to take each one of these four words here for a moment and emphasize just the word itself. Let's take it. The Lord is my shepherd. And when you put the word and the emphasis on Lord, you're saying, the Lord, that's everything. Beloved, when you have the Lord, you have everything. You have the whole world belongs to you. The Jew belongs to you. Everything belongs to you because you have the Lord. And He's our shepherd. Is He your shepherd tonight? You have everything when you have the Lord. Now, we might not have all the wealth right now, but you don't know what kind of an inheritance I'm coming into. Huh. The Jews belong to me. They're going to be my inheritance. The world belongs to me. The new earth belongs to me. The new heavens belong to me. Why? Because I belong to Him. I belong to the Lord. Do you belong to the Lord? Or have you sold the Lord for just a mess of pottage? What is it in your life? The Lord is my shepherd. But then, beloved, you can take the next word. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's assurance. Oh, we have assurance when the Lord is my shepherd. Is He your shepherd? Can you say, yes, the Lord is my shepherd? But the next one is even better still. Notice what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, isn't that nice to say my? Could we all say that together? Let's all say it together. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's say it again. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you know why I wanted you to repeat that? It's because He's not only mine, but He's yours if you've accepted Him. That's something personal. He just doesn't belong to Owen Hoffman. He's my shepherd as well. He accepted Him, and when I talk about my shepherd, He can talk about His shepherd. Or we could say, He's my shepherd. Brother Hoffman could say, He's my shepherd. And we're both right. It's something personal about accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why, beloved, we don't inherit salvation by our mother and dad. It's something personally that we have to accept ourselves. Your father's faith will never save you. Your mother's faith will never save you. It's only by your own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that you're saved. Because you have to make it personal. He's my shepherd. The little girl that was dying, and the preacher was talking to her, and he didn't have much time with her, but he kept on going over. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And every time he went over with her, he went over with her and he held that finger. "The Lord is my shepherd." And he went over it again with her. "The Lord is my shepherd." He says, "He can be your shepherd, honey. He can be your shepherd if you accept him. He died for you." The little girl says, "I want to make him my shepherd." And he left her. The next day he came back to visit her once again. And he said to the nurse, he said, "Well, how's my little girl?" "Oh," she says, "preacher, I'm sorry you asked me. She died during the night." "Oh," he said, "no, yes." He said, "Did she say anything?" "No." "Not a word?" "No." "But she said there was something strange about the way she died. She died holding on to that finger." "The Lord is my shepherd." Is he your shepherd? Is the Lord something personal to you? Or is he just some big God out there in the way, Milky Way, way out there that you know nothing about, and when you get in trouble you might utter a little prayer? Or is the Lord your shepherd, my shepherd? Beloved, notice the next one. "The Lord is my shepherd." And what is shepherd? We're in His care. Isn't it wonderful to be in the care of the Lord Jesus Christ? We're in His care. We're in His care. Beloved, why should we care about anything when we're in His care? Isn't that what we saw last night? He wants to lead us. Isn't that what we saw the night before, where we brought out about, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? We come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the rest. It's from Him, beloved. Isn't it a great thing? We enter into His rest. But, beloved, here we notice we're in His care. He's the shepherd of the sheep. And there's so many people going so many ways, and they're not coming the right way. They're not coming to Christ to get forgiveness. And they know nothing about the care of the shepherd. But in the 23rd Psalm, and beloved, this psalm means a little bit more to me tonight than it did before. And I think I mentioned that on Sunday. It means a little bit more to me when I look at the 23rd Psalm, because I didn't understand it like it really was until you get over there. You can't really enter into the 23rd Psalm. We're going down the highway one day, the King's Highway, and we're going down some of the other highways, and they pointed out one day, "Well, here's where David fought Goliath, in this particular area, we think." And of course, they can only think. They can't mark the exact spot, but they thought. Anyway, that's where they thought it was, and he quoted the scriptures and so on and so forth. And then I thought of David being that shepherd boy with the sheep. And beloved, as you get into this thing, into this verse, it says, "I shall not want." Why? Because the providing shepherd provides for you daily. He provides for our need. And yet, we go around as bankrupt individuals. Notice, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And beloved, when I thought of that verse, I looked at those hillsides, and I said, "Where are the green pastures?" I always pictured in my mind before I went to Israel, and I don't know why I was so ignorant, but I was. I'll have to admit that. I always figured it was probably like the mountains of North Carolina, where it was beautiful trees and all greenery and all the rest, and I didn't really get the impact. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." I thought to myself, now wait a minute, this isn't something unusual. There's all kinds of green pastures. Beloved, you have to have somebody lead you to them. They're scarce over there. They're scarce over there. They're just a bunch of heels, just bald-headed heels. It looks like a bald-headed man is what those heels look like. A little patch of grass here and a little patch of grass that, and surely it takes the shepherd to find a place to feed them. beloved, he takes them beside the still waters. You know, the sheep have to be content to eat and to drink. And you know, that's the trouble with us Christians today. We don't get still enough. That's why we don't feed upon the Word of God enough. The devil keeps us so busy, and you know, a sheep will not eat when there's a lot of disturbance around. But you know, I have found this out. God's people do not eat spiritually either when there's a lot of disturbance around. When you have trouble in the assembly and backbiting in the assembly and murmuring in the assembly, there's no peace there. And the sheep are all jumpy. They don't know what's going to happen next. And they don't eat of the Word of God. But you get an assembly that's content and around the Word of God, it's a place of quietness. It's a place where they can worship the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be in this kind of thing. He takes them by the still waters. But beloved, a lot of the streams I saw all over in Israel were bubbling streams. Well, the sheep wouldn't drink there. What would the shepherd do? He would get a little cold where the water was still, where it wasn't rushing by. And he'd lead them right to that still water that they might drink. You know, that's what our good shepherd does for us. If we would only wait on him and let him lead the way, he would show us the paths that are green. He would show us the still water where we could be restored. Notice the next word. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, beloved, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When I thought of that, as we went down the King's Highway one day, going down towards the Dead Sea, I looked over and I saw a shepherd, and I saw the Bedouin's tents over on the side. And I thought of Abraham there pitching his tent. Somebody made a remark, just think, that's how Abraham was, a rich man. Out there in the wilderness, barren hills. And beloved, as you looked at those Bedouins down there, you couldn't help but have your heart go out to them old, black, dirty-looking tents. You just thought of them. No running water out there. I saw them come by one of the streams where they said that Moses was, and so on and so forth. And I saw the people. A lot of the people got out of the bus once again, and some dipped down things and tried to cork up some of the water, take back Moses' water, and so on. And you know, beloved, as we looked at that stream, it was coming out of the rock. They said that's probably the rock that Moses smoked, and the water came forth. Now, I don't know if it was the actual rock or not, but beloved, the water was coming out pure. And you know, it was running down. And it was a funny sight. After it came out of that rock, so nice and fresh, and was just as clear as crystal, and just a few feet away was a man dipping out the water trying to wash his automobile. There were other people there taking pictures and filling it full of water and carrying it up to their tents. What a sight. What a sight. There they were, no running water. Out there in the desert, the sheep had to be taken to the water and given water to drink. Oh, beloved, what a wonderful thing that we think of this shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Beloved, you know some of those great hills over there and mountains over there. As you walk down through the valley, you can think of the story of the man that was wounded on his way. And when the Good Samaritan came by and helped him. And the priest left him there. And the Levite left him there. But the Good Samaritan came by and helped him. And took him to the inn and said, listen, take care of him until I come back. And I'll pay what debt he owes. But take care of him. The Good Samaritan. Beloved, I thought of those rough, rugged hills. I wouldn't want to be caught there tonight. One night we were down into Petra. During the day we went down there and we went down into there. Into that city of rock. Oh, beloved, what a wonderful sight and what man has accomplished. And yet I looked at all of this great rock and all those valleys and caves and so on going down through there. I thought to myself, I sure hope I get out of here before dark. Because I'll tell you what, some of the fellows that looked down there, they looked like pretty rough customers to me. And they were trying to sell us everything that they had. Beloved, you know, I thought to myself, going down through the shadows of death, through these rocky places, I could just see that shepherd leading them through the valley through those rocky places where those little lions would be. Oh, not lions like they have in Africa, but those that are a small kind of an animal that jumps out to the sheep, and before the shepherd can get back, he's torn one apart. Oh, beloved, they go through the valley of the shadow of death. But beloved, when you and I go through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear, for the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. Beloved, this is a daily walk, not just at our deathbed. So many people just think this is when we die. This is when we come to the end of our life that He's going to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. No, beloved, we're living a life dying daily. And He's leading us daily, not just in our deathbed experience, but every day we are dying. And He's leading us through the very bad valleys all around us. If we knew the host of Satan that is about us, we would fear and tremble. But beloved, we have a good shepherd. And that's a good shepherd that keeps you from falling into sin. Beloved, it hasn't been a sad thing to see some of our great preachers of years gone by, after they have lived a godly life for many years, one day they get their eyes off the Lord and Satan has a victory over them. They pass through the valley of the shadow, but beloved, they weren't following the shepherd. They got off track. The shepherd wanted them to go this way and they said, no, I want to go my way, just like Balaam. As I was studying this morning about Balaam and Balak. What a moving story as you see Balaam going and telling the Lord, should I go? Should I go? And the Lord says, no, you can't go. Beloved, sometimes the Lord tells us we can't do a certain thing, and yet we go against God's will and do it. Balaam said the next day again, he came to the Lord. He said, Lord, can I go? And the Lord said, all right, go. But the Lord had already told him, no, don't you go. Now that should have sufficed. When the Lord tells you not to do something, don't do it. Be satisfied with His answer. Don't keep on pleading. Because if you keep on pleading, He might give the wishes of your heart like He did to Hezekiah. Hezekiah said, oh God, give me an extension of years. And it was through the extension of years that he had the worst man born on this earth, Manasseh, to him. The wickedest man on the earth was Manasseh. And was born to Hezekiah in the extension of years. Oh God knew what he was doing when he asked to call him into account of his life. But Hezekiah wasn't satisfied. Give me that extension of years. And God did. But what a sorrow it brought on the earth when Manasseh, the wickedest man on earth, made his own children pass through the fire. Beloved, what a cruel man Manasseh was. Beloved, Balaam said, Lord, can I go? And the Lord said, all right, you go ahead and go. And he lets him go. And what happens to Balaam? He goes down there, and the first thing the Lord sends the angel of the Lord in the path with a sword and ready to take Balaam's life. He was going to slay Balaam because Balaam had gone against God's word. Well, you say, God said it was all right to go. God said it was all right to go the second time. The first time He said, no. And Balaam was stubborn like a lot of us Christians are stubborn. We want to do our own thing even if God says, no, we're going to do it. And God knows it. So He says, okay, go ahead. And God, it says, was wroth with Balaam. And He put the servant of His angel there in front with a sword and He was ready to take Balaam's head off. And the animal himself stopped and went to one side to the other, and Balaam got mad at it. Then the animal spoke to Balaam, and Balaam finally got his eyes opened up and saw the angel ready to slay him. The animal had more sense than Balaam had. And beloved, a lot of times we don't see what's ahead of us. But when the Lord says no to us, we better listen. And there's some people here maybe not saved. And the Lord has said to you over and over again, I want you to be saved. And you say, no, Lord, I want to do my own will. And the Lord says, that's not the right way. Accept me and you'll be forgiven. But beloved, we don't go the Good Shepherd's way. And then we get in trouble and then we call on the Lord and want Him to help us in a time of need. But beloved, the Lord has been patient with us. He's been a good shepherd to every one of us, even those that are outside of Christ. He's given you another opportunity to be saved. Sometimes you've rebelled against His word. But notice what it says here. He takes us through that valley of shadow of death. Notice the next part. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Beloved, there the shepherd takes the sheep out into that sheepfold, out into the desert, and finds a nice green pasture. But he just doesn't say, okay, sheep, go to it. No, beloved, he doesn't do that. He goes over to the grass and he examines that grassy field, because there's a little animal, a little snake, a little something to stick his nose out of the ground and bite the sheep on the nose, and he doesn't want his sheep hurt. So he prepares a table. He goes all over the land. Though it looks green, he looks for anything that might be in danger to his sheep. He prepares the table. Beloved, the Lord prepares a table for us, and sometimes we forget to come and eat of it. There's a prepared table here every Sunday morning. I wonder how many come and take part of that prepared table to remember the good shepherd that gave his life for his sheep. What a privilege it is for every believer. Beloved, we just touch on the last part. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And they say the shepherd, as he's the door of the sheep, stands there, and the sheep come up to him, and he examines the sheep at night, and he goes all over their bodies to see if they've been hurt during the day. You know, the Lord likes to do that with us at night. I wonder if we ever take time at night and let the Lord speak to us. Put the Word of God in our hearts in the last part of night. Go to sleep with the Word of God on our hearts instead of something filthy from television. Oh, beloved, hiding the Word of God in our hearts. And the last thing we remember in the day is the Word of God. We go to sleep thinking and meditating upon the Word of God. We're musing on the Word of God. We're thinking about that. And we go off into sleep thinking of the Lord. But you know, a lot of people don't do it. Notice the presence of mine enemies. There's enemies all around. But he prepares that table. He anoints my head with oil. Beloved, that wonderful scripture that he gives to us. When the sheep come in, he examines them. If there's a cut, he pours the oil in and gets the sheep for ready for the next day. The cup runneth over. He has that mug there. And it's full. And he puts it to the sheep's mouth. And it just bubbles out. It's running out. That nice fresh water to water the sheep. Oh, what a shepherd we have. And beloved, he wants to do that for us. But you know what the trouble with most of us sheep are? We're too busy. We're too busy. Oh, beloved, if we only could get by ourselves and let the good shepherd anoint us with oil. If we could only get by ourselves and let him pour that fresh water into our mouth to satisfy our thirst. What a wonderful blessing we would be to others. Yet, beloved, if we're not saved, we know nothing about what we've talked about. Because we're trying to get to God some other way. What way are you getting to God? Through the shepherd or some other way? Now my time's gone and I can't get to John 10. But beloved, it's a wonderful portion. That good shepherd. That great shepherd. That chief shepherd. Beloved, that chief shepherd is coming. And he might come tonight. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to see him tonight? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the Lord would just come and we'd all go to meet him in just an instant of time? I hope we'd all go. I hope we'd all go. I wonder if there'd be a child left behind. Mother and dad, grandpa and grandma, everybody gone, but you left in the bench yourself. Maybe there's a father here. The children would go, the wife would go, but you'd be left behind. What a sad thing. The chief shepherd is coming. And beloved, we have to be ready. For when we think not, that's when he's coming. Did you say to yourself, he's not coming? Beloved, he might come. He said, when you don't think I'm coming, that's when I'm going to appear. How about it? Are you ready to meet this shepherd? The good shepherd that gave his life for you. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose for you. And he's coming for you. He's coming for those that believe on his name. Have you trusted him? Oh, if there's one here tonight, you haven't trusted the Savior. I wish you'd just look at this shepherd, the one that gave his life for you, and say, tonight, I'm going to say, the Lord is my shepherd. He's mine. Oh, it's good to know him as my shepherd. If you don't know him as your shepherd, why don't you trust him right now? Ask him to save you. Shall we bow in prayer? Father, maybe there's one here without Christ tonight. We know not, but Father, maybe there's one that doesn't know this good shepherd. May they trust him right now. May they say, Lord, you're my shepherd. I want to accept you right now. And I'll go in the paths that you lead. Oh, Father, bless us through the invitation we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we sing a hymn in closing? Number 261. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way.